Hi, I'm Bobby Brody. I'm chair of the Academic Senate. Welcome back. I hope that everyone had a restful or at least interesting summer. The executive committee did not have a quorum, therefore I have to make a motion to approve the agenda and ask someone to second it. So I move that we approve the agenda. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Now I need to ask to move to amend the agenda and move item 6D as in dog to A and move all the others down. So Queens College delegates to the University Faculty Senate. May I have a second? Any objection? Okay. Now I need to ask you to approve the agenda as amended. Any objections? Okay. I'd like to introduce our guest speaker, President James Meiskens.
Thank you, Professor Brody, and welcome all of you to another academic year. We're getting off to a very good start, I think, and a warm welcome to all of you in this room today. We'll hear more about the warm part in a moment, but what I would like to do today, which is to not be traditional but do something different, is to be helped in my presentation by four of my chief staff members. And so I wanted to start with the very exciting beginning of this semester, Welcome Day, and have Adam Rockman come up, since that's something that Student Affairs does, and he'll talk a little bit about Welcome Day and a few things that are happening in Student Affairs, and then we'll move on from there. As you may know, in fact the students know, before the semester starts, we have this tradition, you walk through the gates on Casino Boulevard, and when you graduate, you walk back through the gates. So that's a tradition, and that's what Welcome Day is built on. So Adam, I was just giving you a chance to get up here. I was filibustering. There's a few more pictures I'll put up.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hi, Adam Rockman, Vice President for Student Affairs. As the President mentioned, we had Welcome Day on August 27th for all new students, new freshmen and transfer students. We had over 1,700 new students attend and participate, and it was really a wonderful day. In addition to those 1,700, or from those 1,700, I should say, over 1,000 students stayed for a concert by pop duo Carmen, and that included returning students were invited to that as well, and also enjoyed a free lunch. In addition to all of this, we had a mini club day, which was designed to have new students get involved with clubs and activities on campus. And we tied all of this in with the campus's Year of Brazil by including Brazilian drummers, samba dancers, and capoeira performers in the event. Okay. As the President mentioned, I'm going to just briefly talk about four initiatives in student affairs that we've started this year, all with the hope of bettering our services to students and to the campus community. The first item is that I have issued a directive, if you will, but what I call five daily challenges to all student affairs staff. And these are five questions that I've asked each student affairs staff member to ask themselves every day to increase services and make the student experience better. Another initiative is that we're going to be providing more staff development and training for student affairs staff. Third, we're going to be increasing student leadership opportunities in which students can participate in and contribute to campus life, thereby building a better community. And finally, we are promoting and supporting a socially just community through education, advocacy, and accountability, which includes ensuring a safe climate both physically and emotionally for all students on campus so they can continue to develop the capacity to live and work in a multicultural environment. And that's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Adam. And we appreciate those initiatives. As you heard, and I think you know, and if you were at Welcome Day, you saw the drummers and the dancers, it's the year of Brazil. And every year, as you know, we feature a country. We've had China, we had India last year, we've had Turkey. Brazil year is off to an incredible start. And in case you've noticed construction of an unusual sort on campus, we have sculptors here from Rio de Janeiro. They're internationally known. They started out as simply some boys of 13 and 14 trying to find something to do, and they built a replica of Rio de Janeiro out of bricks, and they're here now working with students and others doing something similar, if you can see those pictures. And so, as you walk to campus, look for this. I think you'll be very excited about what you see. And if you learn about these sculptors, these artists, you'll be very impressed with what they've done. We've also already hosted a rector from the Rural University, Federal University of Rio de Janeiro. We've shown a movie, The Flip Side of the Favela. It was shown yesterday, but it's going to be shown again next Monday and Wednesday during free hour in Campbell Dome. So that's something I think you would really enjoy seeing. Also, we have a basic Portuguese mini course. So for those of you who'd like to really get in the spirit of Brazil, that course is available. It's a non-credit basis course. I understand a lot of people have already signed up, but the more the merrier. And it'll focus on pronunciation, communication, oral activities, music, and videos. So that's something fun. On October 11, we have a musical performance, a Brazilian jazz ensemble. October 16th, we'll have a soccer game in honor of the World Cup 2014 that's going to be happening in Brazil. You may recall last year, with the Year of India, we did a cricket match on the quad. There's another picture of the project that's underway here on campus, the Year of Brazil. Then we have another event I wanted to bring to your attention. This will happen on October 4th. It's Quintessential Queens. As I think many of you know, if Queens were a city by itself, we'd be the fourth largest city in the United States. We're going to do an all-day conference. It's the conclusion of the 75th anniversary of Queens College to celebrate this borough. Sometimes I think Queens has an inferiority complex. It doesn't have the panache of Brooklyn now. That's the most popular brand in the world at the moment. But we're going to try to show that Queens has a lot to offer, and it's the up-and-coming borough. So there will be lectures all day, and we'll have a keynote speaker, Robert Sullivan. Some of you may know him. He's the author of a number of books called Meadowlands, A Whale Hunt, and Rats. We talked about this with people yesterday who are very familiar with his work. His work has appeared in The New Yorker, The New York Times Magazine, and so on. And then, as we go along with events, this is an important year, and an especially important year for Queens College in that it's the 50th anniversary commemoration of some very important things that happened in the Civil Rights Movement. So we want to look at that again, and it's important we do it here because so many people, some sitting in this room right now, were down there at that time. Here you can see making a difference, making it possible that the Civil Rights Act of 64 was passed, making it possible for laws to change that were incredibly discriminatory laws. So we hope you'll follow these. There's an event coming up on October 16th. We'll make sure there are lots of publicity on this, but I just want to give you a head start on that. And if we have someone come here, we have a little thing to play that we had to hook up separately.
Woke up this morning when the man said, qc.cuny.edu/civil rights.
You can applaud that one. Good. So, several activities that I think you'll all want to know about and be involved in, so watch for more. But as I said, I think it's so significant that we're making a major effort to understand what happened 50 years ago, because so much of what happened there was influenced by wonderful people here from Queens College. Now, something we always brag about is we have 29 new faculty joining us. That's been the major objective of my presidency, to get as many new faculty as we can, because if you have the kind of faculty we recruit, they are the kind of people who care about students, who give time to students, and who are coming here with reputations that are world class. So I have up here, first of all, the new faculty in arts and sciences, and I'll just page through to the four divisions. So of these 29 new faculty, they hold degrees and have taught at the world's top institutions, including Yale, Harvard, Columbia, University of Dublin, Trinity College, Moscow State University, and of course Queen's College and the Graduate Center. They're experts in Irish and English history, Magna and Anime, and West African cinema. They've studied volcanic activity in Nicaragua and the Canary Islands. They have tracked the health of those first responders to the World Trade Center. They've even, one of them, designed a project for a Queen's College graduate from the class of 76, some fellow named Seinfeld. So we're most fortunate to have that group of faculty. And following the group of faculty, I would like to introduce Betsy Hendry, who is the acting provost. And what I want her to talk about is some initiatives that are coming out of the provost's office, initiatives in academic affairs that will affect students, faculty, and staff. And then also to talk about the major challenge we have before us right now, which is enrollment. So, to you, Betsy. Do you want to use this? You want me to?
Yes, thanks. Good afternoon, everyone. As you may know, academic affairs includes all the academic departments and programs, academic support services, honors programs, and so forth. We've also done some restructuring, so the Division of Academic Affairs now includes also all the enrollment management offices, admissions, the registrar, financial aid, and so forth. And we've also moved or consolidated international efforts into the provost's office, including global education and study abroad, international students and scholars, English Language Institute, and so on. So we have revamped things a little bit. Now, as the president said, I want to talk very briefly about some of the initiatives that he's asked me or others in my area to work on this year, and then I'd like to talk a little bit about a very important challenge that we face, and that is one of enrollment. So the first initiative that I would be working on is trying to develop new programs of study, and I would both at the undergraduate and graduate level, and particularly focused on programs that will be of use to you, the students, as you go out and look for careers. So they would be particularly workplace, not all, but particularly workplace focused, and also try and build on the considerable strengths of the curriculum of the various departments that we have already. The second, and this is an ongoing project that will be overseen by Assistant Vice Provost Ava Fernandez, is to look at the adjunct quality of life. We were cited in the Chronicle of Higher Education last year for some of our efforts. Many of our faculty are part-time, and we want to make sure that they are made to feel part of the Queens College community, even if they may also be working elsewhere. We also, Ava will also be overseeing an initiative to increase the utilization of both instructional technology and course management tools. Vice President Keller, you may hear a little bit more about this from him in a minute, and I will be working on a project called CUNY 2020. Specifically, we're developing a CUNY corporate consortium for the urban environment, working with other CUNY campuses and with a variety of external partners, both in industry, government, nonprofits, and so forth, to try and leverage the academic expertise that we have to really, first of all, help to train students to work in this important and growing field, and also to be responsive to the needs for responding to disasters such as Sandy, for example, helping to lend our, we have a couple of faculty members doing that right now, so that we can lend our research expertise to the community in responding to natural disasters and other kinds of events. And then I will also be working to improve the student experience with Queens College Administrative Services, as I mentioned, registrar, financial aid, and so forth. And here you can help me. If you know somebody that's running into trouble, let us know. If you yourself are finding that something's not working for you, let us know so that we can try and make things work better for you. And then finally, a strategic enrollment management and retention initiative. And I'm going to talk in a minute about our enrollment numbers. They're not what we might have hoped. And we'd like to be building enrollment, both at the undergraduate and graduate level. We'd like to be putting initiatives in place that make it easier for you to move through to graduation at a steady pace. So both recruiting new students and keeping them here and getting them the services and the courses they need to get through. And again, you can help us. If you know somebody that might be interested in coming to Queens, put us in touch with them. Talk it up. And we would welcome them to our campus. So, this slide, I'm afraid, is an example of the perils of putting PowerPoint slides together at the last minute, which is to say a few of the totals don't quite work. But let me say, in some areas, and this one's new students, and I'm going to give you a slide on total students overall. New freshmen, we usually average around just under 1,500. We had hoped for about that number. We've fallen a little short. We're at currently 1,376, and it's unlikely we're going to pick up any more this term. So we need to look at why that happened. Why did we lose them? Was there something that we should have done? Transfers are about on target, maybe a little bit short of what our projections were, but not bad, as are readmits. And non-degree students, which includes early college initiatives and so forth, is actually up quite a bit. One piece of good news is the new graduate students, because we have been, one place our enrollments have been suffering is in the graduate level, which is not surprising because a lot of it is education related. The market for public school teachers has not been great. We've been looking to develop to diversify our offerings at the graduate level, and you will see that although overall graduate enrollment's not up, new graduate enrollment is. So it suggests to us that we have begun to turn the corner in that respect. So then let me turn to overall enrollment, and we will see that we expect it to go down a little bit. Partly because of some of the falls of enrollment in the past and what that means in terms of continuing students. Partly because of some good news, which is that we've been graduating a lot of students. A lot of students are moving through more quickly, which is fantastic. But that means in terms of enrollment planning, you have to do some backfilling. So we need to be adjusting our planning accordingly. And so we fell a little bit short of our projections. And that's a concern. As you will hear from Vice President Keller, it has a budget impact. So we need to find a way to get ourselves back to a kind of our optimal level, rebuild some of the graduate enrollments. As I say, would welcome your help with that. One more piece of information, and this is actually good news. If you look at undergraduates, about a quarter of the undergraduates attend part-time. But that's actually going down a little bit. Now, undergraduates, there may be very good reasons why students go part-time, but statistically speaking, if students are able to go full-time, their graduation rates are higher, their success rates are higher, and so we try and encourage, where possible, that students go full-time, and that's actually heading in the right direction. Graduate students, the overwhelming majority does go part-time. Many of them are working. But again, we see that more of the graduate students are actually going full-time. So anyway, this is just a picture of our enrollment. We would like to see it pick up. And we'd like you to help us, both in helping us to reach out to new students and also helping us to identify areas where, if we're not doing the best job we can, that we work with you on that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Here. Yes, we do recycle. I also wanted you to meet someone. I saw this picture in the post office. William Keller, he's coming forward. He is our new Vice President for Finance and Administration. And I had him speaking yesterday at the P&B, and he's here today. And we have a nice new formula. I get to present the good news, and he's brand new. He gets to present the bad news. Now, all of this won't be bad. He has some wonderful initiatives he's going to tell you about. But he does need to tell you and show you the budgetary implications of what Betsy just showed you. And let me assure you, that issue, the budgetary issue connected with enrollment, is the major thing that we have to focus on here. And we're going to try to make absolutely certain in the spring we have more students than traditionally you have in the spring, and we are looking at ways to do that. So Bill, welcome to Queens College, and thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay. I thought the easiest way to present information to you is to show you the goals that I have for this year. And as the president and the provost have discussed, the number one goal is to balance and enhance our budget. The way that CUNY does its budget is it takes the enrollment from the year before, and then since the tuition increases, it adds the tuition increase that would come from that cohort continuing. They haven't been raising the target recently. So years ago, we had about 20,000 plus students. So the target was based upon that amount. This year, we had anticipated that our enrollment would be down, so the budget we developed was developed around having 19,500 students. And as you saw from the earlier slide, we came in for the fall at least with about 18,600, which is, lower than we had anticipated. However, usually the enrollment drops another 800 to 1,000 in the spring. We feel that that's a real opportunity for us, which is to make sure that, a very large number of the students enrolled in the fall continue in the spring, and that we go out and aggressively recruit community college students. Nassar Community, for example, we met with them a few weeks ago. They graduate 700 to 800 students every December. My prior experience in CUNY was at Kingsborough, which also graduates a large number of students, and also LaGuardia and Queensborough. So even if we just stay on Long Island, including Brooklyn and Queens, there's a lot of potential recruits. And we're talking about starting some programs that would really appeal to community college transfers, which are programs, right now, some of you may know, the Macaulay Honors Program is only targeted at freshmen. community college students, a lot of them graduate with honors. There's an honors society that many of them are members of. What happens when they graduate is there's no honors program for them to continue in in CUNY. We're strongly thinking about starting a community college transfer honors program so students who've already proven at the at community college that they can handle and do very well in college will be able to transfer here and will interact with our Macaulay honors students and other students in the honors program. And we think that will give us a positive edge in recruiting that important cohort or potential cohort. That's very important because the trend of the number of high school students who are graduating in the city and this surrounding area is dropping. It peaked in about 2010, and the post-baby boom bump, it's called, or there's other terminology for it, is over. And now, for the next 10 years, the number of traditional high school graduates is supposed to be declining. So if we're going to right that ship and get more students, we're going to have to reach out to students who are already in community college, students who are coming in for additional degrees, students who are older. So there's a lot of potential there. We also, compared to the other CUNY schools, are in a highly competitive environment. We have St. John's and Delphi, Hofstra, CW Post, besides all the schools in Manhattan that are competing for our students. We know we have an excellent story to tell. We think that if we really make an investment in recruiting and advertising, we'll be able to tell the story. It's anecdotal, but we hear about students who've decided to go to one of those schools, let's say St. John's, because St. John's gave them a scholarship for $4,000. Well, a scholarship $4,000 St. John's means that student's paying at least twice more than they would pay here. And I'm 100% sure, and I think everybody is, that the education they get here will be as good and certainly in all likelihood better than what they could get at St. John's. So that doesn't really make sense if we can reach out to them and attract them. And every single student that we get above that figure that I mentioned before for the spring and for the fall is a positive addition to our budget, which means that gives us more money to spend on education, because the years of our declining budget has meant that we've had to cut back on OTPS and other similar important areas. You're sitting in a very hot room, partly because of some problems that we've had with air conditioning. This building, some of the buildings, there are things that, again, I've only been here about 2 months, but there are things that have been discussed for a long time. And CUNY is moving ahead with plans to build a chiller plant for Queens that would cover about two-thirds of the campus. It takes a long time to get projects going. We anticipate that it will be in place, that the new chiller plant will be in place either for the heating, the cooling season in 2015 or in at the latest 2016. We have plans so that next year the air conditioning will work much better, or we'll have the ability to very quickly deal with that. The first few weeks of the during the middle of the summer, when we had that horrible heat wave, we brought in some temporary, AC units that could cool a whole building. We're planning to, have two of them on hand for next year so that when there is a problem. This building was one where the problem was not anticipated. It turns out that the fluid used in the system was polluted, and we're now cleaning it, sent it out to a lab to have the pollutants taken out. When they'll get back to us, I don't know. But I want to apologize for the problems we've had. Promise you the storms that are happening now will drive down the heat. And if Indian summer is over, we should be done with the cooling challenges, and we can really focus on next May. Provost Hendry mentioned CUNY 2020. Just real quickly, it's a program that the governor has started to enhance the relationships between SUNY and CUNY and the private sector. The idea is to support new construction and new programs at the CUNY schools so that students, both full-time students, part-time students, graduate students, continuing ed students, can be educated in fields that it's anticipated will be fields of growth in employment. And as you know, global climate change and with incidents like Sandy, we feel that the environment is going to be a major area of employment growth and economic development. So that's why we're working on that. We're another one of my responsibilities is to help enhance entrepreneurial units of the college. That includes the, you know, working with the student association, working with it's called the Auxiliary Enterprises, you know, corporation. And what we intend to do there is work with students, faculty, and staff to develop new ways to bring in additional money for the college. And that money can get spent on priorities that we establish. The Summit, our beautiful dorm, there's some work that has to be done there. This year we're only about 90% full. We again hope to go up in the spring with some of the new students that I mentioned and with others. We're going to be doing outreach to some of the other schools in the area to see if their students need dorms. And included in that might be some of the hospitals, because you know all of the hospitals have graduate medical students, otherwise known as interns and residents, who may need housing. So we're going to be creative in area and hopefully get close to 100% for the spring term. And then finally, and this one is a priority, but as you can see, there's a lot going on. We are going to be looking at starting one or more you know, buses going to mass transit sites in the area to help improve the transportation to the college. Through student affairs, we are going to, well, we're already involving student affairs in it. We're going to get some students involved too. And, you know, we will have to charge something for it, but we did that at Kingsborough. We had a bus going to two of the subway sites near the college, and they were extremely popular and helped our students a lot. So I'm always available. Please stop by and see me. I'm in 3:30 in Kiley Hall, and I'd be happy to hear your suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I think you can see in 2 months he's managed to get a lot of things going. So, thank you. Now, since this is a president's report, I thought I should also talk for a moment about something we seldom talk about, but I spend a very lot of my time on that, and that is fundraising. And one of the things we do is we raise a lot of scholarship money. So I asked Lori Dorf, and this is the last, and we'll be finished here soon, just give you a quick, you'll be amazed at how many scholarships we have, and students, if you haven't applied for one, this might be an incentive. Come on up here, Lori. That may be an incentive to do so.
You want to click yourself?
No.
Okay, you talk, I'll click.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me, President Myskins. My name is Lori Dorf. I oversee institutional advancement, fundraising, and alumni relations. I'm going to present very quickly our top 20 scholarships that we've received over the last year. The first is the Donald Brownstein Scholarship for 20 students in the humanities. That was $1 million scholarship. The Ken Kupferberg Memorial Scholarship for the Department of Math and Natural Sciences. The Steve Herrera Scholarship, he was just here today meeting with 4 students in economics. We have the Michael Falk Scholarship, that's for entrepreneurial spirit. The Ira Spar Scholarship, that's for pre-med. Carol and Richmond Hockman are for the Scholars Program. Renee Kroll Zarin Scholarship for Honors Scholarship. And we have the Stephen Onassis Scholarship, that's for financial need. We have the Willen Scholarship in Accounting and Economics. We have the Barham Scholarship for those living in this summit. We have the Barry and Evelyn Strauch Scholarship for financial need. The Forbes Hill Scholarship, and Kylie, the identical room across there was named after Forbes Hill and Lynn Hill, who co-taught together, and that's for media studies, and the Ray Taylors for financial need. And Mediterranea is for science and business. I think we can go. Mediterranea is science and business. Hennekins is for athletics. Barham is for a BBA program. The Gordon Scholarship is for need. Arthur Schoen Teacher is for early childhood education. And Jeffrey Hollander is for pre-med. So as you can see, these are the top 20. We have many more scholarships. Yes, and then I would just like to present very quickly. We got off to a really great start. Our fiscal year starts July 1st, but we've made some great gains in our fundraising efforts. I just want to share a few of our top gifts with you. The first, as I mentioned, is $1 million scholarship from Donald Brownstein. Received $100,000 this year. It's $100,000 a year for 3 years for a student emergency fund that I work with VP Adam Rockman on. A $51,000 gift just came in for a scholarship in honor of his wife, a $250,000 estate gift, which is for unrestricted use, and that goes into our endowment, which helps support scholarship as well, $55,000 for a scholarship for the Aaron Copland School of Music, $25,000 for athletics, $328,000 estate gift we just got this week, and that's for English. And we raised at our gala $719,000 last May. We have another one in May. And I think there's another slide, if you'll indulge me. $25,000 for a student involved in the QC Newman Center. $25,000 for athletics from Eric Mann. $50,000. And this is interesting for a son of a parent who audited classes here but never attended college here, but they loved walking to Queens College, being on the campus and auditing classes. $25,000 for someone who was deceased for the Graduate School of Library and Sciences, $700,000 that we're working with New York Community Bank, and another $170,000 for the Kupferberg Center. And that's just through October, pledges through this October. So I'm very excited about a good year we're going to have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lori. As you know, we have a Queens College Foundation, and over the years, what they've been concerned about is to make sure that any student who can benefit from an education here at Queens can afford it. And despite the fact that our tuition is low and there are Pell Grants and other things, we want to make sure that students have all the help they need. So we just thought it'd be useful for you to see what we spend our time on, and that there are lots of scholarships here that you may not know about that could be helpful to you as a student. Now, this is the reason I wanted to present something to you today. You know about rankings of colleges. You hear about U.S. News and World Report. You hear about other ones. You hear about Princeton Review. Well, there was a ranking this past week in the Washington Monthly, and I want to talk about that for just a moment. Now, as you know, there's a lot of reason to be skeptical about rankings. Methodology is often questionable. Sometimes the questions they ask are ones you wonder if that's the right thing. However, this one's perfect. This one is perfect in all those regards, and you'll see why I say that in a moment. Now, as you know, in America, we really pride ourselves in upward mobility for people. That one can start at very humble beginnings, like Abraham Lincoln, and rise to the presidency, and so on. And one of the ways that this upward mobility is supposed to occur is through higher education. And that has worked. But in recent years, studies show that's not working so well. That many people are being priced out of education, that many of the elite schools are simply taking very wealthy students and helping them move along. And in fact, President Obama has been around the country talking about why does college cost so much? We should be looking at measures other than those that the U.S. News and World Report does to try to say what are the best bargains for higher education in America. And that's what the Washington Monthly, which is a venerable organization, has been doing these rankings for years, decided to do. And they had four criteria for what would make a superb college or university. The first was that the college or university really serves students from modest means. So they looked at the Pell Grants that students were getting, and you had to meet a certain threshold of students in that economic bracket where the family income is $75,000 or less. Second was graduation rates. Doesn't do you a lot of good if you get into college, but you can't continue and you drop out. And so they looked at, they wouldn't look at any institution that had less than a 50% graduation rate. Thirdly, they looked at the graduation rate in relation to the demographics of the students. And there's a certain expectation that a certain kind of demographic will or will not graduate on time. So any school that would meet their criteria had to have a graduation higher than what you would expect given the students they serve. And then fourth, they looked at student loans and the default rate on student loans. That had to be less than 10%. Their theory being that those who can pay back are getting employment and they're moving forward. Then after those criteria, they applied what they called the buck part of the measurement by ranking schools based on their net price of attendance. So you saw this slide up here. I don't want to do that yet. They did this, and Amherst came out number one. Amherst, a public institution. But Amherst has made a huge commitment to bring students in who are from modest means, and they give them a lot of support. Of course, I didn't stand here to tell you that. The institution that came in second out of 1,752 institutions analyzed is Queens College. You can applaud that. Now, I don't like to be second, so we're rephrasing that. Queens College is the number one public institution in America for best bang for your buck. So you students were damn smart to come here because you knew what you were doing. This is the place to come. And what's exciting to me is the Washington Post, the New York Times at the moment, they're all interested and they're coming here to do stories because this is